This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics. This week's program is Reaching Out with Islam by Sheikh Yusuf Islam.
I don't believe that there are as such professional callers to Islam. And whatever gift I have for attracting people to Islam, it is not something that I have consciously striven for. It is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me because of my past and because of the change which I made in becoming Muslim. This has, as we can see, very practical effect. If anybody says, what was it, you know, that made you Muslim? It's very difficult to sum up in so many words the answer to that question. Simply, I would tell them, it's the Quran. But it's not sufficient answer. I cannot transmit necessarily by my words, you know, how beautiful is Islam. But by my action, it may make them think for themselves and study Islam. For sure, Islam cannot be transferred like from one bank account to another bank account. It's not like that. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when he wanted to guide his own relations, he couldn't do it. It was Allah who guides who he wishes. So this is just the first point. There are no professionals in da'wah. But I would say the most effective da'iyas, or those who give da'wah, are those who somehow shine with Islam. Today we are going to have, inshallah, a lecture. And it was told to me that the time of this lecture was supposed to be yesterday, but because actually the subject is more for non-Muslims, they moved it to today, the more appropriate time. Yes, this is one very important consideration. Let us consider the people's way of life. If we're going to have a lecture, then we should pick the right time. We should also pick the right place. It obviously won't be very good to have the lecture in here, because we expect there are going to be many coming. So we should make preparation maybe in the other room. So, what are we going to say to these non-Muslims? My approach is not to speak in a preaching way, to preach that this is what you must believe. But the whole basis of da'wah is, in a way, la ikraha fid deen. There's no compulsion. And this is the way people are psychologically trained today. You do sell them something, you have to sell them something, but the way you do it is to make them feel that they themselves need it. to really call upon their consciousness. I take a subject like darkness to light. I try not to use this word Christianity against Islam, or Islam versus Christianity. Immediately, people start taking sides, and they start reinforcing their barriers and their walls of defense. So I try to pick a way which is not necessarily sounding so religious, but more mystical. People in the West love mystery. If you know, you stand there, I suppose, for long enough, you know, doing this, holding, you'll get such a crowd trying to see, you know, what you've got in your hand. They just want to know. They become interested. So, this is also part, I think, of the way. You don't tell them point blank, to become Muslim, you have to do five times daily prayer, you have to give 40s of your work to... you make them run away. So you have to use some way of just bringing them, and some titles, they can be more attractive. In fact, I don't think this is the best title, but there are many things today in society which we can talk about. And not even in society, just subjects in general. Just look at any bookstore. Look at some of the titles of these books, and they sell. People are interested. Take a subject like, for instance, I did it in London. We have this Islamic Circle meeting. Every week we've had this meeting for about 8 years. Alhamdulillah, this is one of the institutionalized dawah efforts which I have been involved in, and it has brought fruit. So, some of the titles that we're studying now, you can pick any title. Water, and a title of water. But from water, you can see how much we learn in the Quran and in the Hadith, and in the example of the Muslim way of life, how water plays a part. Again, I'm just giving ideas that when you are introducing Islam, you don't have to come out directly and give them the whole list of do's and don'ts. But you must somehow bring them in to your view, not through force. Again, we must remember another important thing. When we're giving dawah, we're not necessarily inviting them to our tradition or our nationality. We are inviting them to have direct link and communication with the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We are vital in that respect. But we are inviting them. Sometimes we hear the name Islam almost as if we are worshipping Islam. It's not Islam that we are worshipping. We are worshipping Allah. That is Islam. There's a difference. People may look at Islam and they will see the culture and the tradition. And so it's too much, it's too heavy, it's too difficult. You eat different food, you wear different clothes. See, that's another reason why I'm wearing these clothes, to give you another clue, that I don't want to frighten them initially to think that they must wear jalabiyah or kameez or whatever. So therefore, we must realize that we're not inviting them to a tradition, and they have already got concept about Islam. So we're inviting them to what? To the Lord and Creator. The Creator of their own souls. Who is closer to us than the one who created us? You're bringing them to this knowledge that they have a duty to recognize their Creator. I notice with Dr. Jamal Badawi in his talks, he tries to avoid sometimes the name God. When you say God, People have a concept already. They imagine, you know, from their previous religion, ideas and images, Michelangelo's images of God and Jesus, as you see in the Sistine Chapel. These kind of images, you know, put a barrier. So I noticed that Dr. Jamal Badawi uses this word creator very much. Yusuf Ali, in translating Lord, would say cherisher and sustainer. Again, understanding that there are certain connections that we have with words, and many Muslims don't understand these connections. We were talking today at breakfast time and saying how dangerous sometimes it is just to give dawah and talking about God and heaven and hell. But at the moment you say that, you leave me alone, you know, you're from the past, you're from prehistoria. So we have to think how to use terms with the non-Muslims. Now, another very important question. If we're going to teach or give some dawah or invitation to Islam, can we teach that which we don't know? That's a very fundamental question. The answer, I think, to that we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Best of you is the one who learns Quran and teaches it. So first we must learn. We must have the knowledge of what we're teaching. And we have examples from all the great scholars. We know that example of the scholar who was asked to give advice to his child. The parent came to the scholar and said, please give advice to my child, you know, not to eat sweets. And so then he said, yes, give me a month. He wondered why. You know, then after a month, he gave the teaching to the child. He said, why did you take so long? He said, first I had to put into practice. I had to give up sweets in order to teach to give up sweets. Another very important aspect, because pretending is not Islam. Islam is based on reality. You can admit your weaknesses. That doesn't harm your case in the slightest. In any jury case, you may find that a person who is very weak, weak in being witness for themselves, but they are so sincere, may win the case. They don't know how to say or to speak on their own behalf, but their own stuttering becomes obvious that they are truthful. So being truthful is another very important aspect. We are weak. But we can teach what we know and what we believe. What is the thing that every Muslim can teach? What is the thing that every Muslim can teach without any fear of hypocrisy? He can teach that he believes in only one God for all people, and he believes that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last prophet. He is the prophet of God. The minimum that we have absolute confidence and we believe and we know, we should teach. This should ultimately be the message which the person will come away with, because eventually we have to give a clear message. Again in the Quran it says, فَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. It is not upon us except to give clear message. So when you have now got your audience, you've managed to find the thing which they are interested in, now you can give them the clear message. At least let them know that there is only one God, one Creator, and that Muhammad is his messenger. So many things will come from that. How many Muslims do that in their conversation? How many Muslims, when they get into conversation with non-Muslims, start ending up talking about Iran and Iraq and Gaddafi? And is that the message of Islam? Shaitan has diverted you in your conversation. You must also be very clear when you go into this conversation that what you want to teach, as teachers they do before they go into a classroom, they don't go in there thinking, what should it be? You know, history, science, geography? No! There is a timetable. They have decided already. Even they have got a plan. If they're following a well-systematized procedure, they will have a curriculum. They will know that this week, it is this. So, you must also realize what you want this person to come away with. You must at least give him this minimum. He must know about the oneness, Tawheed, and he must know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now the source of guidance regarding this for us. He's the last messenger. If a person already knows that, then of course you can decide what else he needs to know. But again, you must be very careful how you begin. Cleanliness, for instance, is half of Iman. And unfortunately, of course, we see in Muslim countries today, we see the opposite. We see filth in the streets. No sewage system. And then we ask why, you know, people don't come to Islam. And we come to the West and we see they're very, very clean, of course, on the outside, but then in the inside, they're full of filth. They need to be cleaned. Rijs. They have filth on the heart because of their, because of associating with Allah without being Muslim. But we can see outer expression. So we should be clean as well. We should have a clean outlook. And we should preach what we practice. And if we don't practice it, we should say that this is the teaching of Islam, but I'm not a very good Muslim. As one person said to his fellow colleague at work, they were always arguing about the deen, and he's trying to convince him about Islam, and this other man, you know, finally he said, look, why don't you leave it alone? He says, why you keep on trying to convince me about your religion? He said, you're the same as me. You work here, you do this, you do that. I have the same kind of life. He said, what's so good about your religion? I've got Christianity, well, what's the difference? He said, look, I'm not a good Muslim, he said. But, he said, I know this. There is the straight path. It is Islam. I've fallen down on that path. I'm not walking properly on that path. But I'm on the path. And you're not on that path at all. So in other words, he's admitting, you know, that he has weaknesses. But this is the path which will lead you to success. And you will have no success unless you're on this path. What is that path? As it says in Surah Yaseen, the explanation of Sirat Mustaqim, it says, let me inshallah read. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم أهد أهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا الصراط مستقيم said, did I not charge you, O sons of Adam, that you worship not the devil? He is your open enemy. But that you should worship me, that is a straight path. Again, we see the clear message of Islam, bringing people back to their covenant with their Lord, which they made before their existence, before their birth, when all Bani Adam gave the covenant to Allah when he said, "Am I not your Lord?" So every human being has this within them. It is just to be reminded, just to be polished. Every human being knows he has a debt. This is religion. Deen in Islam, transferred or translated, means debt. You have debt for your existence. Your parents didn't create you. They were just instruments in your creating. So again, worshipping Allah is Islam. That is the message, the heart of Islam. As Yasin is the heart of the Quran. I came across a verse yesterday. Strange, I never noticed it before so strikingly, but again, because we've been talking about this subject also in London in the Islamic circle, the problem with Muslims today. So it naturally happened that I fell upon this understanding that the main problem with Muslims today is they have not taken the examples of Bani Israel. They see it as oh, they are the cursed ones and we are the blessed ones, and again they have changed positions, or taken the same position as Bani Israel, thinking that we are God's chosen ones. See, so then we see how important dawah is. Even though you may not be professional, you do have a duty to give dawah. Unless you do dawah, your whole security is in danger. One cannot protect oneself living in a non-Muslim environment unless one is expanding his territory. Surely, this is what we are seeing in America today and in Europe. We are seeing Muslims are building mosques. Muslims are establishing schools. Muslims want to get involved in politics. Why? Because we know unless we do this somehow to protect our deen, we'll be led to the slaughter. So we must establish dawah some way. What is possible for us? If we don't, we will have the problems. And what are those problems? It's translated in the Quran as curse. Curse to the ones who have the message and they do nothing with it. Inshallah, I'll read you this verse. Because I'm not well versed with the Arabic at this time. It says in Surah Al-Baqarah, just after the verse, "Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'a'ir Allah." It says, "Those who hide the proofs and the guidance which we revealed after we had made it clear in the scripture, such are the accursed of Allah and accursed of those who have the power to curse. Except such of them as repent and amend and make manifest the truth. These it is towards whom I relent I am the relenting, the merciful. So it can be understood that the problems which we are facing today is because we haven't given the message of Islam. We haven't given it either to our children or to our neighbors. I too am guilty, the same as you, of not giving dawah well to my neighbors. Sometimes I feel shy to do so. But the Prophet ﷺ was the most gentle, the most easy. But when it came to giving the message of Islam, he was commanded. He did as he was told. He followed the order. Sometimes he would leave the town bleeding. We're not going to leave the doorstep bleeding. Maybe slightly embarrassed. But what is that? What I'm saying, this is a duty which you must take seriously. Unless you do this duty, then fasad will reign. Taghut will reign. And the Prophet ﷺ, in clear terms, has said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Preach, or not preach, but convey, transmit, even one ayah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. So, this is all for the time being. I hope inshallah now there may be some questions, further questions, but again I wanted to say that I haven't prepared that well the discussion, but I wanted to talk about the things which generally we've been talking about in the conference, and about dawah, which is of course the objective of Muslims, or should be the main objective of Muslims in this country, while still preserving the deen within the family.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless our brother Yusuf Islam. His speech was based on two points. Number one, the Quranic ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ud'u ila rabbika bil-hikmati wal-mu'idha. And that's what exactly he was saying in the beginning of the speech, that was wisdom which is called to us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not on the basis of just straight da'wah of aqidah. Second thing, which the point he said, he also said in the end of the speech, a hadith, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Even if you have one ayah known to you, we should convey the message to. And what is the ayah, or what is the message? We all know in this hall, every one of us know, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. To convey the message is a duty for us, exactly in the way and fashion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his family, to his neighborhood, and the community at large. And for that purpose, I must remind you a hadith of sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna yadallahi ma'al jama'a." Indeed, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the organization, with a group of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, "Wa'tasimu bihabdillahi jami'a." We have to make a group of people. We cannot survive as a single person. Even prophets could not do the work singularly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu ansar Allahi kama qala Isa ibn Maryam lil havariyina, man ansari ilallah. In this way, in this path, collective effort is the only answer. And I say, that probably our prayers were answered. And when I say our prayers, I mean Americans and Canadians in this continent. When an organization, from the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, came into being and is here today, Islamic Circle of North America urges all of you, and you can convey this message to anybody, that for the service of Islam and for the duty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us, we are going into the field, delivering the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is no one worth worship than Allah. and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Join us in this effort for the benefit of yourself and for the benefit of your children. I would now request those who have any question, please forward your questions here so that our learned brother Yusuf Islam can give us more on the subject of Dawah. Is there any question? If you have not written your question, you are welcome to say thank you. JazakAllah khair. Question here.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break. In the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar, and in the eighth year after the Hijrah or migration of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from Mecca to Medina, corresponding to the year 630, the Muslim army entered Mecca victoriously. Just 2 years earlier, the Muslims had signed a treaty with the idolaters of Mecca, providing for 10 years of peace, given that neither side attacked the other. The idolaters of Mecca, however, broke the treaty by attacking a tribe allied with the Muslims of Medina. As the 10,000-man Muslim army approached Mecca, the people of Mecca were terrified at the prospect of being killed for breaking the treaty. To their surprise, the Prophet, peace be upon him, ordered that no blood be shed. To those who had persecuted him and kicked him out of his homeland, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Go, you are free today." With these simple words, the most peaceful conquest in human history was recorded.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series.
Of every individual of us to present the Dawah to everybody who becomes to us. And that is part of us.
I think, yes, we need to give to everyone that we come across. Again, hikmah demands that you must evaluate the right time, you know, to say something. I think your personal behavior can also, of course, simply give the message of Dawah. If you follow Islam, you find yourself doing, of course, different things from other people, and they may then look at what you're doing and say, "Why are you doing that?" Then you have perhaps opportunity, again, not to give them the whole menu of Islam, but to give them some message again about Tawheed. As far as that is obligatory, I think, on every Muslim to use whatever occasion he can to evaluate it and to do it. But as far as media is concerned, I think it is today that we find Muslims complaining about their leaders, complaining about Muslim organizations that they don't do this job, or that they're not doing this, or they're not doing that, and them. Again, you have this attitude that they are the ones who are responsible, I am not responsible. But we are all responsible. Muslim organizations are made up of brothers who were dedicated to do something. But again, the organization itself, it shouldn't be that we should consider the organization as finite. It is a means to an objective. They may not have the right know-how to approach the media. The media itself is catering for the nafs, mostly for the nafs and the desires of the people. Islam stands out completely separate from that. It's trying to control the nafs. the media is controlled mostly today by the Jews. And that's a reality. All I'm saying is don't rely too much on the media to do the job, which actually should be done on ground level first. Ground level is where the people are. Television is a dream world. People may see today, when they look at some slaughter in Palestine on television, the next thing they'll be watching Mickey Mouse or whatever. It's a non-real world. The real world is when we are rubbing shoulders, when we are giving an example. So therefore, I think that don't put too much emphasis on the television. The greatest power you have actually in regard to television is to switch it off. And I would suggest that, and there was a film I think called something about television, it was Peter Fincher's in that film. Again, it was giving the same idea. This man was calling people, switch off your television! Come back to life! And as someone else said recently, that never understood, sometimes this verse, it says that these people, they see, you know, they have eyes but they are blind, they have ears but they are deaf. Then when he saw someone walking down the road with one of these walkie-talkie tapes, and he realized, this is the deaf. And then when you see the people watching television, these are the blind. They are not experiencing life. Eyes are to help us to observe and to experience it at the same time. Most people watching television are taking second-hand experiences which are mostly fictitious, played by actors who are drunks, perverts. So, really, you have to evaluate the media for what it is, and nothing can beat the human example.
Alhamdulillah, now questions are coming in. One brother said, Alhamdulillah, you are among us, thank you, and there's no question, that's it. There is Brother Yusuf, do you think it is much easier to give the message of Islam and convince an atheist rather than a good Christian or a Jew? Should we give dawah on selective basis? Can you please relate your experience?
Actually, it's a difficult question, really. Again, compartmentalizing is dangerous in dawah. Every occasion is something new. Generally, al-kufr millatun wahida. That kufr is one religion. So, disbelief is conveyed to people in different forms. When they grow up in a Jewish home, they become Jewish. When they grow up in a Christian home, they become Christian. They grow up in a home which doesn't care about religion, they become atheist, agnostic. But the basic teaching is the same. It is non-Islam. It is not truth. It's difficult to say if it's easier to give it to an atheist, Christian or a Jew, but from the Quran we do see that those who are mushrik and those who are Jews are more difficult. As it says, they are stronger in enmity to you. But that you find those who are closest to you are the Christians. Now again, you may not, if you just take it for what it says, you may make some mistakes. Because it then goes on to say, because among them there are these, I think it says, priests,
Rubbaniya.
And they are not proud. It's a very key element. If you have a Christian who's dogmatic and totally, you know, obsessed with the cross and with this, you know, salvation as a Christian, he's full of pride. It's another expression of pride. He's just as difficult as any proud Jew. I think pride is an important aspect. That's why perhaps you may not look at their actual brand names, but you may look at their condition. You may find that poor people who have less, who suffer a little bit more, and therefore are less prone to self-esteem and egoism, that these people may be easier to contact because of their slight humbleness. They are less proud. So I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that you have to draw the line as Christians or Jews or atheists. Generally it's all one. But look at their condition, and definitely the ones who are less proud, less fanatic about their heritage or their, you know, background or themselves, would be easier to give dawah to.
Questions are not coming, they are pouring. And I have a liberty to screen them. What I've done here, the question in two or three are the same subject. We're going to make one question if I have to use my own language. There's a question here, Brother Yusuf, how to convey the message to Christians who strongly believe that Jesus, alayhi salam, is the Son of God, and it is referred in Bible. Probably questions, people who ask the question, they don't know that it is not referred in Bible, Jesus is Son of God, but I will ask Brother Yusuf to shed some light on this subject, please.
Actually, I'm not the best one for this question. As you know, Ahmed Dida is the one for this question. As far as my own experience is concerned, coming from Christianity, if you like, from upbringing of Christianity, never ever was I convinced that Jesus was really, really the Son of God. Always I had an understanding it was metaphorical. And I think many Christians today take it that view. So there is something that you can work on there, that they don't, of course they're not fully convinced. I mean, to have Iman, you must have absolute certainty. You know, your Iman is not just a thing which you say belief, and it's a mystical thing. Iman is something which you are sure about, you're confident, you have trust that that is true. No Christian can be absolutely 100% firm that Jesus is Son of God, because it's not true. It's a fact, it's not true. So no one can have that kind of conviction. You must go through some kind of process of argument with them. And you can use the Quranic ayat which says, look, we believe in Isa. Oh, we believe in Adam, don't you? So yeah. Well then, look, in the Quran it says, the similitude of Isa is the similitude of Adam. We created him from dust. Therefore, we don't ascribe, you know, this aspect of fatherhood in its literal sense, but God is the creator of us all. And then you lead them to that kind of conclusion. And there should be some gentleness in your approach. Of course, you should be giving them the message, not damaging too much their, as it says in the Quran, don't revile their idols, otherwise they may revile Allah mistakenly. So therefore you've got to be a bit careful. But after a while, if they're very dogmatic, obstinate, arrogant, then don't waste too much time. Give them the clear challenge of the Quran, He says, okay, let us call ourselves, yourselves as witness. Our families, your families, our children, your children. Let's bring them. Well, let's, metaphorically, let's say here and now that Allah's curse, God's curse, damnation be on the liars. And then you take that challenge to them, ask them to say that. Never, never have I found a Christian who is willing to take this challenge. And if they do, they are damning themselves. So it should be the last resort. But because there is no final confidence in the heart of a Christian, they kind of think that, well, it's metaphorical really. Then you have a lot of room for discussion. And Ahmadida knows better. Wallahu alam.
Since the entire convention is based on the theme of youth, and the question came up, and it's very interesting concerning youth in America, I'm going to give this question a really priority. The question says, you know, the Muslims youth in America are getting involved in the trend of drugs, sex, and rock and roll. How do you show these people that Islam is the way for these people while they are brainwashed on these ideologies?
Well, to be honest, I didn't know that this is such, or this is so prevalent amongst the Muslims in America. To be honest, we have similar kind of problems, but not, I don't think as extreme as the way it is presented here. We have that kind of problem in the UK. But... Sorry? The problem is getting drugs, sex, and rock and roll. I mean, all these three things put together like that makes the problem look very big. It may be that big, I'm not sure. It may be just that it is parts of all these things and influences of all these things on the children, making them less Islamic. I'm not sure. You have to, you know that better than I do. You know what is the actual situation. But it seems, how do you show these youth, in other words, that Islam is the way, the right way? They are so brainwashed in these ideologies. Again, I think we have to realize that the age of youth is a dynamic one. Youth are full of energy and vitality. And it is the age where they are becoming grown up. They want to fulfill their bodily needs as well. Islam provides for all these things. As far as sex is concerned, we know Prophet ﷺ has indicated that three things we can rush, speed, hurry. It is, you know, to bury the dead, to pay a debt, or to marry the marriageable. In other words, the moment that a child becomes responsible, if he's responsible to take a drug or to have sex illegally, he's responsible to get married, surely. So that is the cure in Islam. There should be marriage for the youth as early as possible when there is a point of danger. And that's natural. And that is halal. As far as drugs are concerned, again, it is of course all the social surroundings which influence. And it's very difficult to get someone, as far as I know, to talk to them about drugs if they have this reliance on drugs. Their main objective, I should say, I would understand, is to feel happy. That means you must question, why are they not feeling happy with you? Why are they not feeling happy? Is Islam something miserable? Is it something that's dull, boring. How can it be? So therefore, it must be that you must look at how you have presented Islam to them. If they are seeking happiness and to feel high, then, you know, to feel high is something which you feel in Islam, constantly. You are never, you know, in a way, experiencing this depression. As it says in Quran, who despairs from the mercy of Allah except the disbelievers? So therefore there's something wrong with this concept of Islam and the vitality and richness of Islam in providing everything that you need, but in halal way. Also, rock and roll. This is number one question. It is today that we see music as an extension, in a way, of what I consider to be the spiritual yearning for the human being to fill his heart with something. Rock and roll is especially connected with emotion. Music is connected, I would say, mostly with emotion, not with intellect. Music is designed to stir the heart. But the heart also has to be controlled. We must control sometimes our emotions. That's why we have intellect. We'll be judged by our intellect. We're not animals. Animals go by their emotions, by their needs. But we have intellect to control. So, therefore, rock and roll, you could say, is again the expression of the youth wanting to experience emotion. If they don't experience that emotion in Islam, then of course they will go to other false deities as is rock and roll. What is emotion? What is dynamic in Islam? Brotherhood is emotional in Islam. Jihad is emotional in Islam. No one can be on an expedition or on in a battle without feeling emotionally, you know, excited. Even music is allowed at this time. We know in a certain time when music is encouraged, just at that time when the army is ready to march. But we're not fighting a war, we're watching television, we're making money, we're putting it in the bank. So they're going to music. Again, unless we're involved in some kind of real activity, children will look for some kind of excitement, some kind of fulfillment in their emotions. Surely Islam provides all these things, but we have to study Islam and derive all those things from it. Allahu a'lam.
And you will be surprised, as I am, it's 10:30, and we have all these questions. I will just very quickly go, and I think what will happen is, as soon as the session is ended, people who have not got their answers, they can ask Brother Yusuf Islam outside or in a time between programs. One clarification I want to make on his behalf. When he mentioned the point of getting involved in politics, certainly he did not mean to get involved in the politics which Islam does not allow. So, if Islam doesn't allow in a non-Islamic state to vote for a country, certainly you would not expect from a person like Brother Yusuf Islam to tell you that. So, with this, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever we have learned today, we must act on it. And whatever we have promised today to ourselves, we should immediately decide to move on that. And if you are convinced, listening to a good lecture may be the beginning, but to do something about it is the real thing. Use
they had the knowledge. They knew everything. Just knowing everything is not enough. Ya'rifuna kama ya'rifuna abna'ahum. That they knew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his own son, but they were not forgiven. You know, we all know the knowledge, but we will not be forgiven if we don't do anything about it. It was the same occasion, 12 months ago. We were all sitting and talking and learning, and none of us knew what's going to happen. And I am the direct witness of two people. They were going on the way to home, and they left us in this world, from this world, and died on the way to home. What is the guarantee I have? What is the guarantee any one of you have that you will make it back towards home? All you have to do, that if you have decided in your mind that this is the way of life, as Allah said, Islam, inna deena indala Islam, make commitment and do the niyyah. And Allah will be with us all the time. جزاكم الله تعالى خيرا كثير الله يهدي ويهديكم الله. On behalf of the people of North America, I sincerely thank and pray for Brother Yusuf Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.